The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Let's be real. Not every single part of the Bible is utterly fascinating. There are some parts that drag a little bit, just like in any book. I personally can get a little bit bored with the genealogies. You know, the sections where you have paragraph after paragraph full of nothing but names that you can't pronounce. My favorite translations are the ones that use the archaic term begat, like this from 1 Chronicles. "Japheth begat Gomer, and Gomer begat Riphath, and Riphath begat Tarshish, and Tarshish begat Ham." I'll tell you what, if you're ever having a hard time falling asleep at night, just crack open 1 Chronicles, no need for Ambien. The thing is, though, it turns out that genealogies are pretty important in the Bible. They are always more than an arbitrary list of names. In Scripture, each genealogy tells a story. They give us a richer and fuller understanding of the bigger picture. So boring though they might be, genealogies are usually worth the read. So keeping that in mind, there is a genealogy in our reading from James today. Did you happen to catch it? James says that gentleness is born of wisdom. So here is one fragment of a genealogy. Wisdom begat gentleness. I found myself wondering, how does James make that leap? What is it about wisdom that fosters, of all things, gentleness? I think if we want to truly understand the point that James is making, we need to dig a little deeper into the genealogy of gentleness and hear the bigger story. So we know that wisdom begat gentleness, but what begat wisdom? Woven throughout Scripture is this fundamental truth, which is summed up best in Proverbs 9, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So there's the next piece in our genealogy. The fear of the Lord begat wisdom, and wisdom begat gentleness. Now we need to be clear about what is meant by the fear of the Lord. This is very often misunderstood to mean that God wants us to shake in our boots, always remembering that God could smite us at any moment. But this is a misunderstanding and an oversimplification of the phrase. The Greek and Hebrew words for fear are much more expansive and nuanced than simply the feeling of being afraid, like we might be afraid of the boogeyman. What is meant by the fear of the Lord is less like fear and more like awe and wonder. To fear God is to acknowledge that God is the all-powerful creator of the universe. It's to know that God made the trees and the stars and the rivers of the hill country and the deep waters of the oceans. To fear God is to know that God made us. And that should be humbling. To fear the Lord means that we know who God is and who we are, and not to get the two confused. When we understand that we serve a God who is infinitely more powerful than we are humbled. So having a healthy fear of the Lord is essentially about having humility. And Proverbs tells us over and over again that this humility is the beginning of wisdom. Humility begets wisdom. So let's review this spiritual family tree. A healthy fear of the Lord gives birth to wisdom, and wisdom gives birth to gentleness. And what does gentleness give birth to? It can be easy to dismiss gentleness as a frivolous virtue. It's not something that we talk about a whole lot or spend a lot of time trying to achieve. It doesn't sound as glorious or glamorous as some of the other virtues like courage and valor. It's even kind of hard to define what gentleness is. It's a lot easier to define it by what it's not. Gentleness means not being aggressive, not being violent, not being too angry. We may be tempted to shrug off James's call to gentleness as a matter of mere manners and decorum. But true gentleness is about much more than simply being a gentleman or a lady. We may even be hesitant to embrace gentleness because our culture so highly values aggression and toughness. We may worry that our gentleness may translate into weakness. But Jesus makes it quite clear that gentleness is at the very heart of gospel living, and that gentleness is actually the purest form of strength. He begins his famous Sermon on the Mount by saying, "Blessed are the meek," which is also translated as "the gentle," "for the gentle will inherit the earth." Later he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And in today's gospel, we don't see Jesus, the Son of God, the King of the universe, basking in his glory and pride. Instead, we see Jesus kneel down and gently welcome a little child into his arms. This welcoming is the very picture of gentleness, and Jesus calls us to do the same. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all, and whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me. Our genealogy of gentleness can serve as a sort of roadmap for how we might learn to cultivate gentleness within ourselves. It's a virtue that might seem a little hard to just acquire. But the bigger story that this genealogy tells is that we can start cultivating gentleness with humility, with a healthy fear of the Lord. When we humble ourselves, that is when gentleness can take root. We are humbled when we read scripture when we pray, when we simply look around at creation and recognize that everything that is was made by an all-powerful God. We can also humble ourselves by serving others, by putting our own selfish desires aside and working so that we can meet the needs of others. That sanctifying work of humility will beget wisdom, and wisdom will beget a Christ-like gentleness. But genealogies are never ending. They go on and on and on. So what is the next line in this genealogy? What will the gentleness in you generate? What will your life beget? Amen.